Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Hello, everybody.
And Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everyone.
So tonight what we're going to do, we're just going to go over news. Right now, Comic-Con is starting in San Diego. It's Thursday night. I think we're going to get big news on Friday and Saturday, if there is any. No, there probably will be. And we have some rumors that we're going to discuss tonight. But we do have a lot of news to go over. We might do, I spoke to Charlie. I might do one with him on Sunday if there's like some breaking Marvel or Star Wars news. But if there's not, probably won't do anything.
Well, supposedly it's a big deal because Marvel is back having a booth. They haven't had a booth in a couple of years, supposedly.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, so far there's a couple of rumors that we'll discuss tonight. We'll see if it comes to fruition. But who knows, maybe there'll be more things that they announce. But anyway, let's get to the first story. So we've seen this before, and I know I discussed this with Jack and not Jill, but Fedra. Thor Love and Thunder dropped 68% in its second weekend, and I think Doctor Doom did that too, and I think Lightyear did that too. It's not that well. I'll just say, box office wise, so far as of Thursday night, it's got 250 million domestically. Internationally, it has 266 million. So worldwide, it has 516 million, which I don't think is bad. You know, it's a half a billion dollars, and I don't know. I don't think it's going to make $1 billion. I think it might sneak by with a profit, but I think it cost almost $300 million to make. I could be wrong with that one, but it was pretty expensive. It was much more expensive than Ragnarok.
I think there's been a lot of just talk, really. I mean, people just saying their opinion of it's too funny or it's not that great. I mean, when you and I, Joe, were wandering around Orlando Springs, I mean, because I was wearing the shirt, everybody was asking my opinion. And I mean, you heard me. I was telling people to go check it out. I love the fact that there was this playfulness and comedy in it. That's what really made me still engaged in it. As you know from all the other films that I've critiqued, you know, I do like dark and morbid and I love dark humor, but you get to a point where you don't want to see that in every freaking film. So I think it's just, you know, marketing and propaganda of, you know, from which side you see. Some people are just going to be like, oh, okay, I can wait for it. I'll wait for it on Disney Plus. You know, I don't want to go to the theater anyway. And then there's people who are like, no, it's not like the other Thor movies. Don't watch it. And then they're like, oh, okay, I guess I won't. So, you know, we'll see. I'm curious what Jack thinks.
Well, I think that this kind of drop off is especially normal during the summer, because let's face it, every studio is rolling out stuff every week. And not everybody's going to have a number one for that long. Thor managed, even though it had a drop, it still managed to hold on to the number one spot, you know, for 2 weeks in a row. And during the summer, that's kind of a big deal because you have these tentpole movies being pulled out, especially in June and early July, which is when this came out.
It's not a big deal for it to win 2 weeks in a row because they didn't have any competition the second week.
Well, there were still kids' movie coming out. Didn't Minions come out the following week?
No, Minions came out before Thor. It came out, yeah, in between Lightyear and Thor.
Oh, okay. Well, but there are other things coming out, and even though they may not be huge hits, they do eat away at the other films. So I don't think it's a big deal. I think it goes along with the usual thing. If you like the Thor movies, if you like the Marvel movies, you're going to go. I think it's the casual fans who may decide, oh, you know what? People are complaining and, you know, maybe they have a point, but rather than check it out, they stay home. You know, and you'll always have situations like that. It's just unfortunately that it's become trendy to jump on something and trash it. You know, we saw it with Star Wars, especially Solo. Not only did that was that poorly released, you don't release anything the week before Infinity Endgame and expect to keep any sort of market share. And they cannibalized their own movie. Plus, you had people jumping on the bandwagon of, oh, you know, oh, it sucks. It's terrible. They had so many problems with it. You know, same thing, John Carter from Mars. I didn't think that was a terrible movie, but people see scream about it like it's a flop, like it was a personal offense to them.
The problem with that, though, is it wasn't called John Carter from Mars. It was called John Carter. And I think that that would have helped if they would have called it John Carter from Mars. It was also, the trailer was very deceiving. You kind of saw, what was it? Was it like Civil War time period? I think.
Well, he was a Civil War soldier.
You know. Yeah.
But then Edgar Rice Burroughs wrote about what he knew. That was still.
But people didn't get an idea of what the movie was going to be about in the trailers. It was a good movie. I think most of us have said that we really enjoyed that movie. It just did bombed at the box office. I think that the problem with this is, like what Fedra said, is that people are just relying on Disney Plus to see their movies now, because even Lightyear now, like I mentioned to you guys, that's coming out on August 3rd. I forget when that came out in the theaters. Was it July? I mean, couldn't have been July 17th, was it?
Yeah, but the short of it is it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. And I think that that's what Disney has to look at. And that's why I think that less people went back to see Doctor Strange and, you know, in the Multiverse of Madness, because they knew it was going to come on Disney Plus. I think they need to hold these movies back for a while. Like say, well, it's not going to be on streaming for at least a year so that people will go and see them in the theaters. But I guess also Disney wants the bragging rights of the movie making $1 billion, $2 billion being the highest grossest movie in the world ever. But they make less and less the more it's out in theaters too, because the theater owners are the ones, the percentage starts to sway towards the theater owners and the production company and Disney and Marvel. They get less and less every week that it's out. So maybe it's a strategy. Maybe they feel it's just better. I think I had said this last week. I don't understand what Disney is doing with Disney Plus, because I feel like they're losing a lot of revenue. Because before Disney Plus, something like Thor: Love and Thunder would have been in the theaters for a long time, and people would go back and watch it and over and over again, and then they'd buy the damn thing on Blu-ray or DVD or digital, and they'd make money from it that way. But now Disney's just releasing it on Disney Plus, so they're losing, you know, the sales from what they would have made from the Blu-ray and the 4K discs, because they're having it go right to streaming.
Also, Buzz Lightyear, I checked, it came out in June 17th, so you were very close, and I agree with you. I think that's really too close. It's in theaters for June and July, and then already it's on Disney Plus in August. Like, I think that's almost promoting people, like, hey, don't go to the movies that much. You can enjoy it from the comfort of your home. And I think that's a dangerous thing, because we need to keep these social avenues open, you know, and have that experience of everybody in the theaters enjoying the film for the first time. And I'm concerned of that. And I kind of agree with Jack's point, which his point was phenomenal. I think it's just people enjoy bashing things now. And the more you bash it, you know, people are actually going to listen. And, well, I shouldn't even say listen. They're just going to follow, actually. They're just a follower. Because me, if I really was waiting for Thor, even if somebody told me it was bad, I need to see it for myself. Like, I need to judge it on me. I will take into account everybody's opinion, but I need to see what I think, you know? And I think that's what's less happening. And that's also disturbing. It's like, well, why are you following what Mo Schmo says when, you know, if you're a true fan, you're going to want to see all the freaking Thor movies. Like, you're going to want to understand the timeline now. So, and also if you're a Buzz Lightyear fan, probably wouldn't be happy with, you know, how the film went. But if you are a fan, most people will go and see it, you know, and they'll want to see it on the big screen because not many, you know, well, I shouldn't say not many, but I would say a generation was not able to see Toy Story in theaters. So this is the ability to see Buzz Lightyear in character in the theater. So, you know, it's like I can see what Disney's doing with that. But then I also see Disney really, they're trying to eat their cake, have their cake and eat it too type of thing, where it's like, we're going to try and get as much as we can from the theater. And yeah, if it botches, we still got Disney Plus. They'll still rent it. Maybe they'll even buy it and then they'll get the memorabilia. So either way, it's a win-win, which in my opinion is disgusting, but that's also business.
Or maybe they are doing the quick release turnaround to hold on to Disney Plus viewers. Because yes. I can say, honestly, I'm hardly ever on Disney Plus.
I think
the last time I watched something regularly was Moon Knight. And like I said, that was only so-so. But now what do they have? They had Ms. Marvel, which only Joe seems to have been interested in out of the group of our little circle.
Yeah.
So maybe they feel like, well, you know what? We better put something on there so people will stay with the service and not cancel until Mandalorian season 3 comes in. Sort of like how HBO would lose viewers between every season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And then Game of Thrones would come and would spike for a month or two while it was on, and then they'd cancel again.
Maybe they have a chart that shows exactly how much money they're making. I still don't believe in all the revenue that they're getting from streaming. Because again, I mean, I subscribe to Disney Plus, and I don't even know how much it is, but I know I got some kind of deal. But it's a lot cheaper than like HBO Max and like other streaming services, Netflix. And I think you pay less than $10 a month. And you get all those movies, though. You know, it's like, for me, I'm not canceling because you have all the Disney animated movies. You have all the Marvel and Star Wars movies, which I have all the Marvel and Star Wars movies. But,
right,
you know, but it's also in 4K. It's in Dolby Vision, you know, stuff that you can't really get Dolby Vision on a disc that I've seen. I haven't seen too many discs that have Dolby Vision, so that's a plus too, and it's got Dolby Atmos, so it's a good deal. I mean, I just kind of hang on to it. I hate their shows suck. You know, beyond Marvel and Star Wars, you know, you look at the things that they release, it's just not targeted for us. Like Ms. Marvel really wasn't targeted for us. A lot of their new shows are either targeted for families or they're targeted for a specific group or for kids or whatever, you know. And but then there's, like I said, there's the animated movies, there's Marvel, old Marvel movies, old Star Wars movies. That's for us. You know, we can always go back. But anyway, I wanted to get into the next topic or news story where the Endgame directors were defending Marvel Phase 4 because apparently a lot of fans have been complaining. And I know I have, and I think you guys too are on board with this too, where it seems like they're saying it's more quality, you know, it's more quantity than quality that Marvel is doing with Phase 4, and that the movies are not that good as previous phases, and the TV shows are not helping because they're part of Phase 4 too. And it's kind of having people lose faith in what Marvel is doing. So anyway, the Russo brothers who directed Endgame and Infinity War, and they also directed the Captain America Civil War and Winter Soldier. So they came out and they said, well, here's the thing. The entire life of the MCU has seen ups and downs. There's going to naturally be an ebb and flow to how people are feeling about it based on the latest offering. But I think, look, at the end of the day, they're still being very ambitious in terms of how they approach the storytelling. They're being experimental. They're looking for new forms of expressions to keep audience excited and surprised. It still seems like they have a vital creative code and process that they're pursuing. So I believe there's still a lot of hope for what's possible in the MCU. We haven't lost faith in it, and that's for sure.
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, well, you know what, Jack? If that's all you said, I'd agree 100% on that one.
You know, no, I mean, it's the Russos, let's face it, they made some of the best stuff out there in the Marvel universe. And we haven't seen anything from them in phase 4 here. But they're still going to support Disney anyway. We've talked about it before. The problem is phase 4 seems to keep going with this different agenda. I swear Kathy Kennedy is whispering in Feige's ear, you know, that the reason we're getting movies that and series that are lackluster is because they want to follow an agenda. And let's face it, we want to see superheroes kicking butt. We want to see good heroes kicking butt against horrible, terrible villains. And the same thing, not every villain has to have a soft spot and be redeemed. You know, they need to get back to just doing a good comic book story. Leave all the social commentary out or really lighten up on it. And I think that's what's hurting the Marvel movies. It definitely hurts the Disney Plus series. But the movies, you know, we've seen this stuff before. You know, a girl who picks up a bow and arrow can make a million in one shot to destroy a giant evil dragon, while people who've trained their entire lives, you know, can't make this shot. But here comes Awkwafina, a girl who never picked up a bow in her life. And she trained for a whole week, you know, and she makes the shot. This is the kind of stuff that weakens your story, weakens your movie. But, oh, we got to have it in because, you know, we have to. Any woman or person of color has to be shown as a powerful, incredible person. Yeah, but doing stuff like that is the lazy way to show it. You need to make it a story that shows more of their character, not just that, hey, after a week, they can shoot better than somebody who trained their entire lives. This is what hurts their stories. This is what weakens the movies. This is what deteriorates everything they're trying to show about these people being strong and having good character and doing the right thing. It's not about that. That's the wrong message. And your stories are not as strong because that's what you're catering to. And I think that's what's hurting phase 4, because there's just too much of that, especially if you're including the Disney Plus movies. So, okay, Pedro, here's your soapbox. I'm stepping off.
No, that was very good, Jed.
I thought it was great. And
I almost shed a tear.
I'm trying.
Oh, and the Hogarty's heart grew 2 sizes larger.
I mean, I'm going to try not to repeat a lot of what you just said. I think that as far as being creative, I would say no. I would say they are doing a variety of themes, but I agree with you, within those themes are very specific narratives. And I agree that their writing of the story and the depth of the character needs to be shown. And as you know, in my soapbox, I'm really tired of seeing satanistic occult themes, death by virus, disease, or a cold, and that has to do with science or something being inserted. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of forcefully putting in minorities and then putting them on a pedestal, or a specific gender orientation on a pedestal, or even a specific age on a pedestal, and then making them larger than life. That's not reality. That's a freaking illusion. And then just decorating it around it. You know, the reason why, and I didn't even read too much, but I was watching the animated series back in the day. I was a huge diehard fan of X-Men. I mean, every Saturday morning I was there. And the reason why I loved it is that each character was different. Each character had their own backstory, and each of them struggled with not only quote unquote the social justice of being a mutant, but even understanding what it meant to them to be a mutant. What did it mean to have those powers? What did it mean to be a good person? You know, and it was even both sides, where even the villains were saying like, oh, well, we're doing what's right. And the quote unquote good guys were like, yeah, we're doing what's right. That's what held me on. But when I see these films, it doesn't even project that. Like, I just feel like they've never gotten an X-Men film right. No, sorry.
That's a great point, though, Fedra, right there. What has changed that they could show that kind of characterization in, let's say, 20-minute cartoon, 20 years, how long ago, 20, 30 years ago? They could show that in 20 minutes, and it makes such a difference now that people are nostalgic for that and miss that, and they're relaunching it. They're relaunching it in the comics because they were able to convey that characterization in a 20-minute cartoon each week, but they can't get it right in a 2.5-hour movie.
And it's funny, and it's funny that those messages, they weren't preachy. They right. did show you about what was right or what was wrong.
At times they were preachy. You know?
I didn't feel like it was all the time. Like I personally feel like it's shoved down your throat. Like, I don't care if you like it or not, it's going to be in here. Where I feel like it was tastefully placed, where when I'm watching it, I don't feel like it's a propaganda, like, you need to think this way, yo. Like, at
and
least
thinking is half the battle.
Yeah, it's like, now, at least back in X-Men, it was like implemented into the actual story where it felt organic. I didn't feel like it was just like, we're just going to cut and paste this here and make it work.
Well, they are rebooting the animated series for Disney Plus, which already sounds like it's going to be woke.
Yeah,
but, right. That's the problem.
But I will say, though, like, you know, saying what Fedra said, and she made a very good point, too, is back then, I would say, was the Morlocks, were those the ones that were like
those ones? They lived like in the sewer.
Yeah, they were like they had it the worst out of all the X-Men, you know, because mm-hmm. They really
dreamed of being the X-Men.
Yeah,
they had it the worst. Also, the ones that were locked up and being experimented on, which also sounds like something in reality. So,
but I would say, like the Morlocks, though, there were a lot of them, and at times, like, it made you feel like, oh, these poor guys, you know, like they're not accepted in society because people have a prejudice towards them by the way they look. But what would happen is, though, you would see all different types of them. You would see some that were bad. You would see mm-hmm. some that would die. You know, where. Like, once they were dead, they were dead, and they might have been a good person and they're dead. And it's like Disney has just gotten it in their heads that, well, we don't really want to show death on screen. And if it does, you know, we have to redeem the person if they're a villain. And it like you said, Fedra, it's less like real life. It's more of a fantasy world that they're putting out there that it's almost like the friggin' Matrix. I was watching the Matrix last night. And Smith was telling Morpheus, he said, well, yeah, the original Matrix, it was all perfect. But the humans couldn't accept that because it just wasn't right. You know, so we had to change it to have it where it was more realistic in order for them to enjoy the life that they had. You know, and that's what Disney doesn't get. It's they separate, instead of uniting people, I feel like they're separating people because they're, again, like I think Pedro had said it, they're putting some people on a pedestal, whether it be gender or race, you know, where it just is too in your face. It's too forced. But Jack started this off and he said the most important thing that we've all said is that story is the most important part of a movie or a TV series. You know, not inclusion, not casting, not getting a female director, not having the first Asian female director or the first female conductor for a Star Wars series, not promoting that is the most important thing. You know, it's have a good story first. do the story first and then start casting the characters. Make sure that the story is tight and it's ready to go and that everyone is going to be on board with it, you know? But
and if your story is strong enough, you don't need to rely on stunt casting.
Yeah. Because again, they can do it. They did it with The Mandalorian. That was something that everybody, you know, woke, non-woke, we all liked it, you know? We found something that we were all able to like, and that's what they need to focus on, and that's what they need to find.
Agreed.
Just that point where we're all going to be happy. Make us all happy, not one group, all of us. Entertain us.
You know what? And to do that, you don't cater to anybody too much in one direction.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I know you need to make a stand on some things, but you just can't keep catering to certain groups, because that's just each of these groups they cater to is a small part of the population. And it's just, you're ruining it for the other people, and you're not making your, they start feeling excluded by you worrying about including other people. That I mean, it sounds kind of like opposite, but you look at certain characters that they make these decisions on. Either they gender swap them, race swap them, or orientation swap them. And it's like, okay, but what about me? I used to like them the way they were.
Well, you know what I'm going to say too? You know, like during the commercials for the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel. Now, all the commercials I saw, there was no one that looked like me in those commercials. And it seemed like they were not, you know, trying to get me to come or something like that. They were highlighting different genders, different races. But then when I saw all the videos, there were none of those gender or races represented when it actually opened up, from what I saw. You know, I wouldn't say none of them, but I'll be honest with you, I did not see any from the ones that I had seen. I'm sure that there have been, but I don't know. I just think it's very bizarre, you know, what Disney is doing. It's virtual signaling. You know, they want the world to be a certain way. They feel that the way the world is right now is it's skewed wrong, and they're trying to balance it properly, but it's not really balancing it. Like they're tipping the scales in one direction, and they just
You know what? Or they're tipping the scales in a direction nobody cares about.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
And we'll talk about that more when we hit one of your eventual stories.
If we hit one of our stories.
I think we'll hit it. It's too important to you.
Okay. So again, Comic-Con is this weekend. So a rumor came out from this. I think this was from Deadline. So Deadline is saying that they're going to announce that the new Blade movie is going to be called The Blade, and the new X-Men movie is going to be called The Mutants. And it is fairly obvious for a while. People on the internet have been complaining about the word X-Men because it features, gender focused on men, and that there are women on the team and all that. And they don't like that, you know?
God.
So it sounds like Disney is listening and they're like, well, you know what? We need to change them to just the mutants. My problem with it is it doesn't have the panache, you know, that the X-Men has. X-Men sounds cool. Mutants reminds me of the Toxic Avenger or something like that, you know, where it's like a mutant to me is like mutated, gross, you know, but X-Men are heroes, you know? And I, like when I say I introduced every episode, I say, hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. No one has ever said, why don't you say guys and gals? And if they do say that, I'll be honest with you, I'm never going to change. That's the way I'm keeping it. I've always done it. And I just think, I know that girls listen to the episode too, but I think that they sometimes could realize that we're all one group, and if we're all on a football team all together, we're all on the same team. The X-Men are all on the same team. I think it was always an honor for Jean Grey to be considered an X-Men, and for Storm to be considered an X-Men, Rogue, you know, you can go down the whole list.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, again, Disney is just being easily persuaded by the woke, you know, that they feel that they must change because it's important for social reasons. And
I you know what, Joe? I don't even think it's that. I think they are just so overly sensitive that they're coming up with this because, oh, you know, someone might be offended. I can't see people being all that offended over X-Men, because if they were, Marvel has more X books out now than I can't remember when. I mean, it seems like, you know, I'm looking at my current comic release list.
You don't think that could change?
Easily half of these books are X-Men. You have, of course, X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, Blue Team X-Men. You've got all these different books that say X-Men in the title. And you know what? And they're selling fantastic. They're selling great.
But do you think that they care about that? They don't care if they lose money in comics. Look at what they've been doing. They've been driving people away from buying comics.
But what I'm saying is that people can't be that upset over X-Men.
No, it's a small percentage, just like a lot of the changes.
Right,
that
but
they
I
had.
Think Disney has gotten so wrapped up with catering to these little small groups that find something to be offended about that they're doing it to themselves. I think the lunatics have taken over the Mousy Asylum. And they're doing everything proactively and honestly just making a ridiculous mess and alienating the people who made these intellectual properties popular in the first place.
I would say that when it comes to your announcing, Joe, people then need to go back and look at the English language. Not to sound condescending, but if you look at the grammar of guys, it implies your fellow man, which means all humans. So that's where I would go about, where people need to really research actual words and understanding the use of those words, whether it is a noun, verb, adjective, or pronoun. And then on top of that, I think they would also need to look at the branding and meaning of X-Men, which I know your point is totally valid. They don't care. However, if they
because
do change,
because they might have to read something and research something,
right? Because if
it's
they
easier
look
just to gripe about it
in X-Men, you know that was implied of a certain group in the X-Men world. All the X-Men were good, and they were under Xavier, right?
And
so any
CX.
Yeah, and then also the mutant word was a negative connotation in the world. It meant that you weren't human and you weren't normal, and therefore you were a mutant. So I have a problem with them changing that, because that's what then they're implying when they say the mutants. They may not see it, but any fan of X-Men that has actually read it and watched it will see that. So then this movie is not really about the X-Men. It's just about mutants. Right? Because it's supposed to be about X-Men, which is a certain group within this universe. So that's what I have a problem with, because it's very important how you use these words, and you have to use it based on what the creator was implying. And the creator was implying that certain mutants discovered their abilities and they looked for help. And they went to Xavier, and Xavier created the X-Men and the freaking school. So there was a difference between mutants. Duh. It's not just all mutants.
Well said. It's also, it reminds me of the New Mutants, which bombed at the box office. And They just should be separate. If they want to have the New Mutants, that's fine. But just leave the X-Men alone. But they're not going to. I'm pretty sure that 5 years from now, Jack will be buying a Uncanny Mutant comic book.
No, I stopped reading them years ago.
Oh, you're just saying that there are a bunch of them out there.
No, there are, because I look and by looking at the titles I usually pick up, it's like, holy mackerel, that's another X-Men book out? Like, there's just so many of them. And that's part of the problem, that it's almost
oversaturation
to keep up with them.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And they did that crap. I remember when I was collecting back in the 90s, I was a big Punisher fan. And then, like, he got popular and they just made too many titles for him, where it's just like, it was, you know, oversaturated. Ghost Rider did the same thing with Ghost Rider. And then by doing that, they killed those characters. Not that they killed them, but they made them less popular because they put them too much in your face. You know, I hate when they do that. And of course, they do it with Spider-Man, but Spider-Man is so popular that it's hard to really lose him. I mean, look how many friggin' titles they had for Spider-Man, and they probably have even more. Like, I know, like, when I was collecting, it was amazing. It was Spider-Man. It was Web. It was spectacular. And
right. But I mean, thank God they haven't done too much of the crossover lines with Spider-Man. So you can read Amazing and just get a story by itself. You can read Spider-Man, just get the story by itself. So I'm glad they haven't gone back. But when they relaunched X-Men, there were just like two titles and you could read all of it together. And then it exploded and they did one of those crossover events that was like 30 issues that you had, you know, and it was literally chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way through like 30 different books. Nobody's got time for that. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, and I bought all that crap too, a lot of that stuff. I especially bought that one with where the DC heroes and the Marvel heroes were kind of mutating into one another. What was that called?
Oh, Amalgam?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
And, you know, there were a lot of separate issues just based on the individual characters. And also, every now and then, X-Men will have, like, an event, and it carries over into New Mutants. It carries into all different X-Men teams, like comic books, you know, where, like you said, you have to, like, pick up 5 or 6 different comic books. Like, I never would pick up the New Mutants. And they would force you to pick it up in order to kind of understand what the story
what happens.
Yeah, or else you're screwed. Or, you know, you'd have those characters that you like would appear in New Mutants for a change so they can sell more of us. They've been duping us for years. all right. So the next story, I did this for Fedra. I had seen this like a week or two ago.
Oh, yeah, you did.
And originally, Russell Crowe in Thor: Love and Thunder was supposed to play Mephisto, and the guy that worked on it revealed concept art of the character. He looks a lot like Tim Curry from Legend, and he said he was going.
He does. That. He really does.
Which is the Prince of Darkness.
Yeah, but I'm sure. Yeah, you would have loved Thor: Love and Thunder a lot more if Mephisto was in it, Fedra.
No, I would have been pissed.
Well, yeah, I was being sarcastic.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, I see the image and it's Satan. That's all it is. There's nothing to sugarcoat it. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, it's definitely Satan. So glad he didn't make it. At least some part of it.
I'm glad he didn't make it to the party.
Well, they probably were like, Russell Crowe's too fat now. You know, he's gonna have to have his shirt off.
I think the writers are like, no, that's a little too much. I mean, we already got the house with the little ship thing in it. We've got the two goats, so we at least have the two goats, and then we have our nice little rainbow with the ship with the goats. So we're good. We don't need anything else. I think it would just be a little too much. We already have the children sacrificed and everything, and we got them in the little cage, you know, and we've got the necromancer. Lancer sword, and, you know, he's killing all of gods, and, you know, I don't think we need to put Satan in this one. We're good.
No, I still think they were like, no one wants to see Russell Crowe's man boobs, because, you know, he would have had his shirt off. I mean, and that's why he had his shirt on, or like he had like a vest on, but we still saw those like fat loins of beets for arms that he had, you know.
I think if it was called for, Russell Crowe would have gotten in shape.
You know, Joe, you shred Russell Crowe like I shred Ben Affleck.
I love Russell Crowe. Really, back in the day, I loved Russell Crowe. I mean, I love A Beautiful Mind. It's one of my favorite movies. And Gladiator, I think, was kind of overrated, but he was a good, back in the day when he was super obnoxious and he was beating people up, he was a good actor. You know?
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching the segment of Sparta 300. I was watching that little part today, ironically. So funny how that all turns around.
Well, he wasn't in 300.
That was Gerard Butler, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was Russell Crowe for a second. All right. Wrong person. Oopsie.
But that was a good movie, too. And that was Zack Snyder, which we'll be getting to soon. So Jack, did you prefer Hercules over Mephisto?
You mean Zeus?
I'm sorry, Zeus. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Well, that's not Mephisto from the comics either. So I don't even know how they could have worked Mephisto into that whole story. Zeus worked out very well. Plus, it gave us an introduction to Hercules. So I'm happy about that. And let's face it, I think Russell Crowe probably had much more fun playing Zeus the way he did than he would have had playing, you know, Mephisto.
Yeah. Plus, he would have to wear all that makeup, which probably would have been hours for him to sit and put on.
Well, no, he'd be wearing a little green dotty suit, you know.
No, I think they would put some makeup on him, too.
But I was glad to see them introduce other Pathians into the MCU. So now we know that we can see the Greek gods show up. Who knows? We might be able to see the Egyptian gods show up.
We did.
You know, well, I mean, the big ones, not Khonshu, who's like a footnote. We want to see Horus. We want to see Bast. We want to see Set. You know, those are the big guys we want to see. You know,
they have Bast in the comics.
Yeah, they do.
You know who Bast is, right? In Egyptian mythology.
Yeah,
I don't.
It's again, Bast and Bat are pretty much the male and female duality of Satan once again.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And then Horus, you know, that's Horus, a whole other thing. Ra, and the Eye of Ra. Yep. It's again.
Fedra is like a magnet to all of this.
It's grinding my gear. But I mean, if you really research it, though, I'm not lying. Like, all you have to do is go back and find the meaning of them. I mean, even the whole story of Osiris and Isis, I mean, it's all very similar of Cain and Abel. It's literally like replicas of literally the same stories over and over again. So me wanting to think really deep, why is this in a comic book? Why is this being quote unquote entertainment? Unless to me, they're trying to implement something in there for you to see over and over again for a reason.
But I know
that's just me.
See, now I know you liked Legend, so I...
Oh, I loved Legend.
But why were you okay with that, you know?
Because at the end, they defeat Satan. That's why. Because the unicorns overcome and the fairies are, and the earth is balanced. That's why I like that. I don't want Satan to win. I want Satan to go back into the darkness where they belong. Get behind me, Satan. You know, that's what I want, you know? You know, that's why it makes me happy at the end of the day, because, you know.
But it's mostly like that in the Marvel movies, too. Right?
know, not lately. I mean, lately, like you
said, redeem him and let him get back into heaven or something.
Lately, almost every villain has not died. They've like been kind of rekindled, and it's like, you know, not to be really extreme, but I'm going to go there because I used to study and be a big fan of serial killers, but that's like if they make a serial killer about Ted Bundy and then all of a sudden we're hugging and redeeming Ted Bundy, even though he did all of those horrible things that you know of. It's like, nah, man, no. It's I know it's not the same thing, but it's like, it's still entertainment and it's still a movie, at least in Legend. You know, they show you an entirely different world, but they also show you the real world versus the spiritual world. And they use that as an example of Tom Cruise and the other lady. And that is the feminine and the masculine energy. And so they were talking about the same thing with the unicorn, which is the male unicorn, the female unicorn. And that unicorn actually is that symbolism of the third eye, because that's where their power comes from. I know I'm getting really deep, but these symbols are there. But if you don't study this, you just think it's just fun. But again, I say, why do you choose that theme? It's very interesting how as soon as they cut the unicorn, that power, it all becomes what? Dark and night. And what comes out? The goblins come out. I mean, and they make fire, you know, and they start sacrificing things and they're cannibalists. They start eating, you know, the other parts, you know, of the universe. So it's a really cool theme. But what makes me really passionate is that they overcome. Like Tom Cruise, his character doesn't really have this strength. He's always questioning himself as a man. He's always wondering, like, is he going to be able to tackle this magnitude? And he does it out of love, right? So, I mean, that's a beautiful message.
You know, the actress that if Charlie was here, he'd be able to name her. But the actress that played Lily in that was Sloane in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yep. She's gorgeous. I think she's a wonderful actress as well. Throughout the 80s, she's done really good stuff. But she's always she's also been hidden.
She married Jim Henson's son. And they're still married.
Oh, wow.
So she's living on that Muppet money. You know. So she's very, very happy. Let's see here. Oh, so the Marvels that's coming out, I guess, in a year or two. There is a rumor out there that one of the planets they're going to visit is they can only communicate through song. So it sounds like all the Marvels, Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau, they're probably all going to be singing in this, and there'll be some kind of musical extravaganza at some point. And I'm sure they're going to get Lin-Manuel Miranda because Disney just loves that guy.
Yeah, probably he's going to weasel his way in.
Yeah, he'll weasel his way in and just write. Because you know what it is, too? He writes music without rhyme. And then I'm sure that that's what they're going to do, is they're just going to be talking in tone without having to bother with rhyming. I hate the guy. Anyway, I think it doesn't sound good. I think we can assume that this movie is going to be a disaster just from that one.
It would be cool if they could like turn it into like maybe like Disney's Beauty and the Beast. Now, just hear me out for one second.
I was going to say, you're out.
Yeah, you lost me. I will hear you out.
So Marvel would be like, now it's no wonder that his name is Thanos. His looks has got no parallel. You know, like that. And then it's like, and then they're all like,
chin. He doesn't just fit in. What a horrible Thanos he just turned out to be.
He's very different, like the rest of us is Thanos. You know, like it's like doing that kind of like bumpity bump, and then, you know, have maybe another language that's jazz, or like they go into AC/DC rock, like whatever.
Jackson his own little world.
No, I know. I took him off there. You know, it's cool, but it's like the concept would be good, but again, the writing has to be good. And I agree with that. Like, you can't make it too cheesy, I guess. Like, even if you make it sad, you know, make it like emo, you know, if it's going to come from like a sad place, or maybe even go into the heavy metal route if it's going to be like a fight. But I could see that being really creative and different. But you are going to have a really strong crew for that. Otherwise, it's just going to go downhill. And it's going to be like Encanto, where there's going to be so many words and things are going so fast that you can't even comprehend it. It's better when it's just like how I did it. It's singable. Like, it's easy for, even if you, you know, aren't great at the beat or aren't great on the pitch, you know the song because it's just flowing. Like in Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin, great music there.
Well, Beauty and the Beast happens to be my favorite Disney animated movie still. So
is mine, actually. That's funny.
I don't know, but you know, that's a tough one for me.
And it's not because of Stockholm Syndrome or because she wanted a rich guy. It was because she actually could read and she could actually ride a horse. I really liked that concept. It made her a little bit more independent, and she wasn't in a gown, and she wasn't, you know, with her stepmother, or she wasn't wishing on a fairy.
Smart.
Yeah, she was actually smart.
No, well, I mean, I remember the reemergence of Disney after like the Ludum 70s. Where they just produced crap for a while. And, you know, it began with The Little Mermaid, which I think was just right before. I could be wrong.
I thought the big turnaround in their animation was The Great Mouse Detective, was when they started incorporating some computers in to help with the animation.
Well, that wasn't this, but still, it was no Little Mermaid.
It still wasn't the Little Mermaid.
There was music in it. You know, I mean, I think, well, it wasn't just that Radigan song, I think, was the only one in there, which was actually pretty good. But I think that they started going back to making, you know, movies like, maybe like Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty.
Well, that was Alan Menken, wasn't it?
Alan Menken and... Oh God, I can't remember his name. Wasn't Tim Rice. Tim Rice later worked with Alan Menken. I can't think of his name, but I know he died of AIDS, unfortunately. He was the guy who wrote the words. He was awesome. Fredra might be looking it up.
I'm trying.
I know Fredra.
They did the music?
Yeah, they did the music for Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Aladdin. They were great. They did Little Shop of Horrors.
Alan Menick, Howard Ashman.
Howard Ashman, that's who it
Jacques
was.
Jacques Offenbach.
No, it was nice. Howard Ashman and nice Alan Menken. Yeah, that they just were great. People like love to say, I'm not going to go in there because I've got their names already. But I think that they're the best composers that Disney ever had. Such a loss when he died that, you know, he was fantastic. But anyway, what were we talking about?
The music, no. The musical thing of Marvel and how it's going to all, you know, come together.
But I think, you know, it's typical Disney is doing the pandering crap. And they're like, you know what people really like? Encanto. Why don't we put that into a Marvel movie, you know, where people can sing along to the songs that's going on. And then we can have a special... the Marvel sing-along version of the movie that we can release like 2 months later, you know, and it'll be just great. And, you know, think of the people that normally wouldn't go and see a Marvel movie, but love Lin-Manuel Miranda. We'll get those people in there, but you're also going to be turning off the people that like Marvel movies. Doesn't matter. I mean, I'm going to go see it. We're all going to go see it regardless because it's a Marvel movie. But it's going to be a disaster. I can guarantee you. I mean, like the first Captain Marvel movie was okay, but it wasn't the greatest thing we've ever seen. You know, it could have been much better.
I think it's gotten actually better now that I've seen it a few more times. I can like it a little bit more, but it was not a movie that endeared itself to me right away.
Well, my biggest problem is they changed the story too much, like where they made Marvel a woman, you know, because they didn't want her to get her powers from a man. And it's like, it was just too, that's when Disney was that the Me Too movement? I think it was, you know, at that point, because they were like, oh, we got to have a female superhero. We got to have a female director. And I think for this next one, they're going to have a female composer too. It's like,
because yeah. only a woman can compose music for a Marvel heroine.
Yeah. You know, like, I'm just saying,
stuff like that just makes me nuts.
If Martin Scorsese knocked on Disney's door and said, you know what? I like that Captain Marvel movie. I'd like to do Captain Marvel too. And they're like,
you know what? I'm going to make you a deal, Disney. I'm going to make you a great film. Just let me do what I got to do.
He doesn't talk like that.
Ah, dang it. I wish he did. An old Italian.
All Italians don't talk like
this,
that.
Actually.
Yeah, he's a little bit more like that. But yeah, they would say, you're unfortunately the wrong gender. Thanks for applying, though. You know?
Well, and I agree with you, Jack, about the composers. I mean, I want more female composers to have the ability and to, you know, step up to the plate, but they have to have the same amount of work ethic, the same amount of talent as the others. And
I don't think it's a work ethic. I think it's the talent. You get the best person for the job on their ability, not because of who or what they are. You know, it's really, I don't know. It's just like when they were saying, I mean, Wonder Woman, the comics had some great runs, but they were written by men.
Mm-hmm. In fact, the same thing,
Captain Marvel had some great runs in her book written by men. And then all of a sudden it came out that like, well, you know what, really to really capture the gist of Captain Marvel, it has to have a woman writing her. No, that's not grounds of why you should get a job. If you did that in the real world, you'd be, you know, sued.
Well, for example, you know, just to give so people can research songs, you know, now that you're, you know, we're saying this, you know, they should look at, I think it's songfacts.com, or they can just Wikipedia the album and then look under the sonograph or discography of the albums or songs. And one song that everybody thinks that Patti LaBelle wrote it, she didn't write it, which is Lady Marmalade. Many people have done a remix of that, and it's actually two men that wrote that song. So, you know, people think that, you know, a female artist will write it, when in fact they have a whole workshop of writers writing it for them and they just sing it. So yeah, and I mean, as you just saw, Ariel and all the music of Ariel is beautiful, and it's two men. So you can't say that, oh, just because of this particular gender, they're going to be able to top whatever composition. Like, no, composition is an expression of art. That's what it is. It's an expression. So it's coming from that person's perspective, not because of the fact that they're a man or a woman or both. Like, no, it's coming from what's within them. That's what makes it so beautiful.
Yeah, like I said, you know, when we talked about the first story that we had, the Phase 4, or maybe it was the second one, where fans are kind of worried about the quality that we're getting with Phase 4 compared to the other phases. Yeah, I just think Phase 4 is going to go down as a failure, because what do we have? We have Ant-Man coming. We have Black Panther coming. I think that's going to be a mess. I read spoilers from it. I don't know. You guys probably don't want to know, right?
No, I don't want to know.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very good. It sounds like there's a lot of Ironheart in there, who's the female Iron Man. And,
so they're going to take away Black Panther's movie to introduce Ironheart.
Well, the war that starts between the Atlanteans and the Wakandans, she's somewhat involved, you know, due to some technology that she created that disturbs the oceans. And, you know, I don't know what she's doing over there.
She lives in Queens, I think.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. But, we're going to see a trailer for, we might see a trailer for it this weekend, you know, for Wakanda Forever, which I'm surprised we didn't see it during Thor, but we might see one for this weekend if Marvel is going to be at Comic-Con. And it sounds like Shuri is going to be the new Black Panther. You know, again, I know a lot of this story. I don't know if it's necessarily true, but it just doesn't sound very good to me. And we did see concept art that I showed you last week. A certain villain appears in the movie.
Which would just be moronic. There's only one movie he should be introduced in. And yeah. It's not a Black Panther movie.
Well, it's Doctor Doom. And apparently he appears in the end credits. And it's revealed that he's been pulling the strings, you know, causing all the friction between the Atlanteans and Ironheart and the Wakandans. So,
does Dr. Doom really cares about a kid from Queens?
Yeah, no, it's a mistake. It's a big mistake. It's just going to be a mess. Anyway, next story. So Spider-Man No Way Home is getting a re-release in the theaters because they didn't crack $2 billion. They think that the second time they release it, even though it's out on video already, they think that people are going to go see it. And it's called Spider-Man No Way Home, The More Fun Stuff Version. That's the official title of it. It's coming out September 1st. And they're going to release an additional 15 minutes of extra footage. Now, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I am under the impression that that footage is not going to be in the movie. It's going to be deleted scenes that you see during the end credits of the movie. And I think it would be crazy for anybody to go see this movie again in the theaters just to see deleted scenes that should have been included on the disc, but they held back from releasing it because they knew they were going to release it back in the theaters again.
I don't know. I mean, it depends how they incorporate it. And I haven't seen the deleted scenes. Unfortunately, I haven't even unwrapped it.
They haven't released it because they screwed everybody because they're like, if you want to see the deleted scenes, you're going to have to come and see the More Fun Stuff version.
Oh, well, like I said, I didn't know if there were deleted scenes on the Blu-ray or not. But
sounds like a money grab to me.
It probably is.
They're very close to $2 billion, and they think if they re-release it, they'll get $2 billion.
Yeah, but I liked it enough that, you know, maybe I want to see that stuff goes in. Like the Lord of the Rings, the extended versions.
No, but Jack, I understand that, but that's okay if they put it in the movie. But if they just show them as deleted scenes when you go see the movie, that's not okay. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, what? They're not going to incorporate them?
I think that might, you know, it hasn't been confirmed, but it sounds like you're just going there to see the movie that you saw in theaters previously. And then they're going to show deleted scenes after the movie's over.
Well, that would suck. I mean, if they were going to add that in as additional content and merge it in with the regular film, I might go see it again because I enjoyed the movie, unlike you. And I would like to see a little bit more of the three Spider-Man scooping around.
Well, no, I mean, and again, I could be wrong about this, but from what I've read, and haven't confirmed that they're actually putting the 15 minutes of footage into the film. I think that it's, you know, like, again, a bait and switch, you know, like, mm-hmm. It's like, see 15 minutes of extra footage, never before seen. And then you go like, all right, we're going to see a Green Goblin fight on the bridge. I know we're going to see it. And it's like at the end of the movie, you know, at the end of the credits, and they might do it. They might put it in the film, but from what I read,
Goblin chucked Zendaya off of the Brooklyn Bridge.
No, when they first see the Green Goblin, you know, when he throws his little goblin hand grenade, you don't see him. I mean, I think you see him for a second, but I'm sure there was a fight. You know, that would have been nice to see.
It could have been, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it so many times before.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, and I'd mentioned this to you guys that starting tomorrow, which is July 22nd, Disney Plus is going to have Logan and Deadpool 1 and 2 on Disney Plus in America. And they said they were never going to show R-rated movies on that channel.
This is, again, why I agreed with Jack completely when he said earlier that they're just doing this to keep subscribers. Or I think you said that, Joe. Sorry.
No, well, maybe it's both of us. I forget what I said. I'm really getting old now. It's like hard for me to remember my own thoughts.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's just to keep you just putting content out there, seeing the response and trying to keep as many subscribed as possible.
I would like to see it in Dolby Vision. I haven't seen any of those movies in Dolby Vision, so that'd be pretty cool.
I'm not subscribed, so.
For me, with plain old vanilla HD TV.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a big deal for me.
Well, if you ever get your own home theater, advertised.
Mm-hmm.
Working on it.
I would definitely, Jack, try and come and visit in Jersey just so I could see that, because that looks so sweet. It really does. I'd love to sit and watch a movie with you just to be in that room.
That house was come and gone overnight, but it's given me the itch to make a...
Oh, good for you. Yeah. So let's get to the Slave Leia story.
Oh.
So Disney has...
This is produced... the one I was talking about, the story near and dear to your heart.
Okay. And I think Fedra's too.
We all know you love...
I'm working Leia. Toward it. You got to mention Slave Leia at least every other episode, right?
Yeah, so apparently someone got a hold of an official Star Wars shirt. And it's ugly as hell. It has like all the posters from the original trilogy on it. And where they have Return of the Jedi, they replaced Leia with basically her Empire Strikes Back Hoth outfit.
Which makes no sense.
Well, they are offended by Slave Leia, and they are trying to get rid of her.
They are offended but they could have by put her ultimate in the sexiness.
Endor camouflage gear.
But even so, just changing, but that's the official poster. I mean, this was a reproduction. It's definitely not, you know, some artist had done it. So I don't know, you know, I'm assuming that he got his orders from Disney. It's like, we need to change Leia. That slave outfit is just not right.
Yeah, but the person that they hired must have been like the same person they hired over in Italy to restore that picture of Jesus where they turned him into a monkey. Yeah. Because it's a terrible, the rest it of it is the movie poster. And then here's this weird looking Leia right in the front and center. Like, why? Like, okay, you don't like the chain bikini. Okay, well then you know what? She wore the Endor gear for more of the movie than that.
True.
Or put her in the Bosk uniform.
No, you'd not cover her Bosk face.
Who did she? The bounty hunter.
I forget that bounty hunter's name, but
put her in the bounty hunter gear or something. You know, you can. You don't have to do. You don't have to go back and put the wrong movie on the Return of the Jedi poster.
Did you ever see the deleted scene when they're getting on the Falcon after they blew up Jabba's ship?
There's like a sandstorm or something, right?
Yeah. And she's still in her Slave Leia outfit. And Han Solo is going up there with her. And I was always like, oh, man, that guy is so lucky. That was a cool scene. See, again, if I'm CEO of Disney, I'm putting that scene back into Return of the Jedi.
I can't pronounce it. It was B-O-U-S-H-H. Boosh?
Bosch? Yeah.
Bosch.
Maybe Bosch. Okay.
Yeah, maybe it was Bosch. Yeah. Thanks, Fedra. Fedra's the fact. Fedra fact. Fact girl.
Factual Fedra.
There we go.
So I don't know. Like, you know, I love, as you know, I'm a deep thinker. I love to understand. So I would want to understand why they're now censoring Leia, you know, because Yeah, I know Disney will be like, well, this is the Star Wars and this is a brand and we're a family-oriented brand. So, you know, we can't promote slavery and we can't promote this very sexy bikini looking.
I don't think
know,
it's slavery that they're worried about. I think it's just her sexual look.
I'm getting to that. I mean, I think that's very hypocritical when I know that most preteen teenagers know Cardi B's music video, WAP. It was all over the place.
Good at that.
Yeah. I mean, that's as direct and vulgar as you can get. So if you can listen to that and watch that music video, I don't think there's anything wrong with Slave Leia. In fact, it's very empowering. The fact that, you know, even through being captured, she literally defended herself and killed Jabba.
Yeah, she killed Jabba in that outfit. That's important, that outfit.
Yeah, I think, you know, it shows also, which they do show in The Mandalorian a bit, of how that area behaved. They were very primal. You know, they weren't like Darth Vader with all of his machines and his bombs and his ships. No, they had primal beasts and they had slaves and servants and they had little ambassadors and mayors. Like, come on, it's like showing a different part of the society. So if you take that part away, you're taking a piece of the film. Like, and here am I, you know, it's funny that, you know, as a woman, I'm not offended. Like, why am I going to be offended about a character? And I think it's phenomenal. She looked amazing. And she was sexy. And I think that that appeal is for everyone, not just for specifically for men or for women.
Let me tell you this. The girl that played Slave Leia at the Hyperspace Hoopla during Star Wars weekend.
I know, she stole your heart. You tell me all the time.
Yeah, but she put Carrie Fisher to shame. To shame.
The Slave Leia that got away.
Yeah, that guy, whoever is with her, he is so lucky. She probably still has that outfit. Or maybe Disney burned it, probably, more likely. But no, I know that...
Well, just to appease the woke, you know, she could be with a very lucky woman as well, or a lucky they, or a lucky binary, non-binary partner.
As long as she's got that outfit on, I'm okay with that. But what happened was when they were doing Hyperspace Hoopla, and Disney still didn't own Star Wars at the time, George Lucas did. So it was a fun little thing, but it always bothered Bob Iger. You know, he didn't like seeing Slave Leia jiggling all over the place on the dance floor. And it was so fun. I have to look for a video and send it to you, Fedra. It was a lot of fun every year. I would go there every weekend just for the Hyperspace Hoopla. And then I'd have to go to therapy the next morning. So once Disney owned the rights, he was like, it's gone. Slave Leia is gone. Although there's, you will see Slave Leia sometimes, like in some of the Disney stores, like she'll be in a pack of all the Return of the Jedi characters.
Not anymore. They're going to replace her with Hoth Leia.
Maybe. It's just
the only skin she's shown is what's on her face.
It's just sad.
It's very hypocritical.
Well, at least we got the movies. I'll always have the movies where I can watch her kill Jabba, you know, in that outfit, which must have been tough.
Yeah. Strangling him with that chain. Oh, yeah.
Oh, especially with that's all she was wearing, you know. Wasn't she strangling him with the chain that was connected to her neck?
Mm-hmm.
What a hero. She should be celebrated.
I love that. And she looked angry. She looked like really angry in that scene. And I loved that. I love to show, you know, feminine anger. It doesn't have to be like overly obnoxious, like, you know, sometimes they show in men's anger. I like that they show a very cool, collected, because she knew exactly what to do. She made that, I think, in three moves. And that's what I loved about it. It's like, it was subtle and deadly. It was like, I'm going to get you bad. And that's what I thought of Princess Leia. It's like, I'm going to be calculated and thoughtful, and then boom, you're gone and on to the next. Like, that's a true hero. Doesn't matter, you know, the gender. It's like, I was just proud to see her in that way. And they didn't make her weak, and they didn't make her pathetic. No. You know, it was like, I love the fact that there's parts of her being saved, and then there's parts of her taking it on. And I think that's true showmanship, instead of saying like, all women need to be saved, all women have to be independent. It's like, no, I think actually a healthy relationship is interdependent, where you got to save the man sometimes from himself, and the man's got to save you.
I will say that's her most memorable.
It was funny. Every time she comes up with a slogan line, she comes from the South.
Yeah, that's my little, yeah, my little character.
I say, little lady, I say you make a good point there.
And she's Foghorn Fedra.
Exactly.
I would say, too.
Isn't that terrible that all of my Southern accents sound like Foghorn Leghorn?
I think most people's does. No, but that's her most memorable scene in the whole trilogy. You have to admit, don't you? Wouldn't you say that's her most memorable scene in the whole trilogy? Her killing Jabba. That. What else did she do? What else did she do in those three movies? Can you name something? She screamed at those. What was
right after she gets broken out of jail, she says, "Get into the chute, get into the garbage chute, fly boy." Like, when they go to rescue her, and then she ends up saving the day herself.
That's a bigger scene than her killing Jabba? Are you crazy?
I don't know. I think so, because, you know, she went from
damsel in
distress of to taking control of the situation.
Different Star Wars film, but what about the scene with Darth Vader when she literally watches her planet being exploded?
Well, no, as I meant the trilogy. But even so, what? She watched the planet get exploded.
Let's just say she had a lot of great moments.
Come on, look at the context of that. I mean, she had to be really freaking brave of me just standing there.
She got over it really quick. She got over it. She did, because you know, Luke and Han ended up rescuing her not too long after that, and she wasn't crying or anything.
No, she just wanted revenge.
She was just laying there wanting her little robot friend, wishing that it was there so she could watch movies, stream movies from Disney Plus in that jail cell. And unfortunately, she's just laying there.
I'm not going for it.
Is that her name? Anyway, right, let's move on. Oh, I just want to say one last thing. Again, if I was CEO of Disney, I would celebrate that day every year, and I would have, I don't know if it would be at the castle. Maybe it would be in Galaxy's Edge. But I would have an actress recreate that scene of killing Jabba, you know, for everybody to see. And then everyone could applaud.
I thought you'd say you'd have a Leia on parade.
Well, that would be every day. Along with her selling hot dogs, you know, in the park, but... Anyway, let's move on. So Henry Cavill might be making an appearance at Comic-Con to announce that he's back as Superman. It's a big rumor, but I think he is booked to be at Comic-Con. There is rumors that he's going to appear in Black Adam, but he might be getting his own Superman movie too.
Good for him. I like him as Superman, but I wonder if that's because, you know, there was talk of him being Captain Britain in the MCU.
I have to see Warner the films. Said,
you know what? Maybe we don't want to lose this guy after all.
I mean, you guys talked about him like he's so great, so I do need to eventually see them. Yeah. I still see Christopher Reeves, though. Like, it's going to be hard.
He was a good Superman. He looks good,
but unfortunately, like I said, the movies are kind of tough to watch.
I really like Man of Steel, and there's a lot to like with Batman v Superman too.
Not that much like a Man of Steel either, but
I would disagree with that one. I think that's a good Superman movie. It's not perfect, but I think he's the second best Superman.
He really
he's the second best Superman after Christopher Reeve.
All right, guys.
Yeah, and damn. Plus, you're a woman, Fedra. You guys see this guy's body, you know?
Okay, we'll see.
So Zack Snyder, let's get into Zack Snyder stuff. So this thing is very amusing. Well, this came out, I don't know if I told you about this one. So Zack Snyder quoted Mussolini to promote the digital release of the Snyder cut of the Justice League, which came out on Tuesday. It's always been on HBO Max, but it hasn't been available for purchase anywhere, I think, digitally. So it was able to be purchased on Tuesday. So he put a picture, I think, of Wonder Woman's shield and Superman's whatever and Batman's whatever. And then he says, if I advance, follow me. If I retreat, kill me. If I die, avenge me. But apparently that quote was from Mussolini and it had a lot of people freaking out.
Well, it didn't work out too well for him.
No, didn't work out for him either. I think it's bizarre. I mean, why would you put a quote up like that? You know, that's like putting a quote up from Hitler and say, well, I didn't know it was him.
Because he's an idiot.
He is an idiot.
He's just an idiot.
I don't.
Unfortunately, people follow idiots sometimes.
I don't agree. I think that was deliberate. The reason why I think it's deliberate because of everything I've said before. I mean, you can call me a theorist or whatever you like. I really think that television is telling a vision, and a program is an actual program being done repeatedly on you. And yeah, it's entertainment. And, you know, people will be like, well, Fedra, if you really believe this and know this, why do you still watch it? Well, I watch it for entertainment and I love being on this podcast and I love shredding things to bits when I critically overthink. So, hey, that's why I'm here. But yes, I mean, we have seen very specific narratives that have actually been applied politically and is preparing us for the campaign in 2024. So no, I'm not going to pretend to be dumb. I'm not going to pretend to be like, oh no, he just made a mistake. No, he deliberately put his beliefs in that, you know, propaganda piece for this film. And so are we to believe then that the rest of the, you know, Justice League is now going to have fascist notations in there somewhere? And I would love to watch it and see if anything else has just slipped in there very nicely, because, you know, we've seen in Winter Soldier, this whole, you know, shots of World War II and programming of World War II and all of that. So, you know, why not? But why is that so hard to believe? Yeah, it's going to mess with your mind a little bit. I would have loved to say what I really could say, but I can't. But, you know, I think that's enough for me. You know, I mean, if I knew him, I'd be like, yeah, you know, good for you for telling us how you exactly feel. I prefer to know the real you, because then I will boycott everything that you stand for, because I don't stand for that. And the only way that I can truly vote and use my voice is by saying something and then affecting you with my wallet. That's all. So, I mean, I think you have to really look at a person's actions and just take it from that. Maybe I'm being too serious, but I don't think that that was done just casually. Many people had to look at that financially, the amount of money that had to be put into those ads and to the effects to make it look exactly like that, you know? Well, it's because it's an ad. Like, it's showing a certain brand and they deliberately put it on Twitter, which is the biggest platform for what? Confrontation. That's completely set in a nice little web and people are buying it. That's why we're talking about it right now. It's the whole point. It's the Kardashian effect. That's what Julian's older brother, that's his coined term, the Kardashian effect. You freaking hate them. They're useless. They've not really done anything, but everybody talks about them.
You know, it does bother me that so many people worship the Kardashians and that they are making billions of dollars off.
Stop talking about it.
Yeah, let's go back to Mussolini. All right, so I'll go back to Snyder.
But back to Zack Snyder. I will say though, he is a weird guy though. Most of his movies contain rape scenes, and he even implied that he would have liked to have put a rape scene in Batman v Superman. He's a really weird guy because he did 300, mm-hmm. Zack Snyder.
Yeah, and there.
What's that?
And there was a rape scene in that. Yeah,
there was one in there. There was one in Sucker. There was a lot in Sucker Punch. I think
Sucker Punch is really a sick movie. If you think
it is.
I haven't seen it. I'm glad I haven't. Then
you're not missing much.
No, you're not missing much. Although the female heroes, though, they looked good, though. You know, like when they were battling and all that. But the story is very creepy. And he did The Watchmen, and there was a rape scene in there. You know, he's definitely a weird guy. Which gets us into our next story. Rolling Stone came up with this article. I sent it to you guys. I don't know if you read. I read the whole article. I found it kind of interesting. But they basically said that he may have been behind all of the fans going to restore the Snyderverse, like that they were fake accounts created by some mm-hmm. company in China.
Yes, thank you. I enjoyed that article.
It was very interesting. And
not surprising either.
And of course, he's got his defenders, and his defenders are saying, it's like, oh, well, what do they know? You know, they can't prove anything. But I don't understand. Well, this is the one thing I don't understand about fans. Why would you be against another superhero like Marvel and DC? You know, wouldn't you, if you're a fan of comic books, are you going to just only buy Marvel comic books and not DC comic books and vice versa? Don't you want to see a good Marvel movie? And don't you want to see a good DC movie? Why do you want to see the other side fail? And this is apparently going on with both the MCU and the DC universe, is they have a lot of toxic fans that hope that the other group fails and that the movies are bad. And even if they're good, they'll review bomb those movies on IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes and say, oh, that was horrible. You know, it was the worst movie. I give it a 0 out of 10. You know, like some people gave Infinity War a 0 out of 10 just because they just hate Marvel, you know, and they love Zack Snyder. It just makes zero sense. But this whole campaign, and I had said this from the very beginning, and I used to have arguments with Taylor, and he used to defend Zack Snyder and Ray Fisher. I knew it was all a scam. I knew he was behind it, that he was just trying to get his movie released. He was trying to make more money. He was trying to get control. He was fired by Warner Brothers because Batman v Superman kind of bombed at the box office. Not that it bombed, but it should have made so much more money than it did.
It should have made tons of money.
And they just had no confidence after seeing a screening of Justice League. So they brought in Joss Whedon to fix it. But in this article, it says that he held on to all of the footage that he had filmed. He was supposed to hand it over to Warner Brothers, but he wouldn't do it. They were going to send security or police after to retrieve it, and then he just decided not to do it. But he basically was, you know, what he did is he took a picture of the canister, he posted it on Twitter, and he said, the Zack Snyder cut, 214 minutes. And apparently all the fans are like, really? There's a 4-hour version of Justice League that's completed? And I don't know how he got away with this crap. You know, like how Warner Brothers let him get away with it. It's just, if you guys haven't read it, it's in Rolling Stone. Just type in Zack Snyder and the Snyder Cut, and it'll probably come up. It's insane. It is so damn, like, it would make a good movie, actually. Because, like, he was also apparently using Ray Fisher on the outside. So, like, he wanted Geoff Johns and some other guy off of the credits for the Snyder Cut, because they were the ones that basically got him fired from the Justice League.
Right.
And Warner Brothers was dragging their feet. And so he persuaded Ray Fisher into making all those tweets saying that those two guys were racist, you know? And I don't know why Warner Brothers hasn't done anything against them. They were working in tangent, you know, so that, you know, Ray Fisher would have more scenes in the Snyder Cut, and also that Zack Snyder would get whatever he wanted. He thought he was going to get recontrol of the whole Snyder universe, which he loved to call it under his own name. He came up with the name Snyderverse too. or Snyder Cut. It's just bizarre. All right, I'm going to stop because I said a lot.
Well, I mean, it's that whole fiasco was just ridiculous. I mean, what director gets a do-over on a movie? It's like, you know what? If what you did wasn't strong enough, why are we going to give you $70 million to rework it? Like, I never understood that whole bit of malarkey. See, I saved you an editing cut there, Joe.
Oh, I appreciate that.
But, I mean, I never understood that. The Ray Fisher thing I thought was ridiculous from the start, but that explains that if he had nothing to talk about, all he could do is name drop and make vague allegations. You know, maybe that does make sense, but I don't think it worked out for him. Has he made too many movies since?
No, he didn't make movies before either. This was like his really first movie.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be his breakout movie. And
but it turns out what's happened is Warner Brothers is like, we're done with you now. Okay, goodbye. And so Netflix hired Zack Snyder, and he's making a movie over there at Netflix. And guess who the star is?
Really?
Ray Fisher.
Okay.
Something fishy.
Yeah, I think it just sounds like a very controlling, egotistical person that just wants to blackmail other people into getting what he wants and using fake accounts. I mean, I don't want to sound too political, but that's also what Elon Musk is wanting to show out of Twitter, is to show how many bots there are. And I think, you know, that helps for everyone to truly understand that, you know, the internet is a big place, and it was, you know, there's so much out there that we don't know. And for him to be able to just harness and take control of the awards to win that award for himself, I mean, it's so pathetic. Like, really, you had to literally manipulate your fans into thinking that they were getting votes so that you can win this award. Meanwhile, they were all fake bots that you were, getting.
And that was crazy, too, because, like, again,
that's disgusting.
The Flash going into the what was it, Jack? The
Speed Force.
The Speed Force.
Which, honestly, I don't even remember that scene.
Well, that was in the Snyder Cut, you know. But it wasn't anything big.
Snyder Cut, and I regretted it because it's 4 hours of my life lost.
But it wasn't a big deal, you know. But it beat out Avengers Assemble. Cap saying Avengers Assemble. How could that be?
Clearly.
It beat out, well, I could see maybe it beating out Neo dodging bullets because that was a long time ago. But it also beat out like the three Spider-Man together in Spider-Man No Way Home. There's no way. And then his movie, Army of Darkness, won Best Picture, according to the fans, over Spider-Man No Way Home.
No.
It's just, you know, it's just so obvious that he manipulated the votes, or he paid somebody to manipulate the votes. And I don't know how people just didn't see that and they just accepted it. But now I'm glad Rolling Stone wrote this article and it's all coming out that, and they even say, I guess somebody, I don't know who it was, Warner Brothers. Yeah. Warner Brothers said that Snyder claims that if anyone was, all right, let me read this. Rolling Stone spoke with more than 20 people involved with both the original Justice League and Snyder's Cut, most of whom believe that the director was working to manipulate the ongoing campaign. Snyder claims that if anyone was pulling strings on the social media fervor, it was Warner Brothers trying to leverage my fan base to bolster subscribers to their new streaming service. But one source maintains Zach was like a Lex Luthor wrecking havoc.
And you get that quote from the article. And I'm like, really? Comparing him to Lex Luthor, but.
Well, yeah, I think he is evil, you know, because he got $70 million off of them. And he also, he filmed scenes even before he got the green light, because he knew he was going to get it, you know, like that whole Martian Manhunter scene. And they said they didn't want him filming Martian Manhunter because they had other plans for the character in the future. But he did it anyway. And he said, well, no, I'm putting it in my movie, you know, and he filmed it during COVID, which was illegal. You know, when COVID first had when we had the lockdown, you weren't supposed to do any filming. You weren't supposed to, and he did it at his house. He had the actors come over. He had cameramen come over. The guy is just, I don't understand how he has a fan base. I mean, I have a problem watching his movies now, you know, just because he's so manipulative.
Well, he's got his fans and, you know, they're staunch supporters of him. So, but luckily there's the Snyderverse is no more. So.
Yeah, but we don't know what's going to happen with the Flash, you know, although that sounds like
I think the Flash is just going to be, it's just going to be like put out there and written off. I don't think it's going to get that big of a push.
Yeah.
Because even though they spent so much on building up Michael Keaton back and other returns of, you know, DC movie characters from long gone, I don't think it can overcome the nonsense show, once again, saving you an edit, that Ezra Miller has made out of his reputation, which reflects on any movie he's in. So I don't think they're planning on the Flash being that big a deal.
It's just insane. Again, like Warner Brothers executives were receiving death threats from, I guess, his fans. And Snyder said, he was never asked to have his fans stand down, adding, "Furthermore, I do not control my fans. They have their own will and their own opinions. You really give me too much credit." But I think one of the executives said that she saw a Joker and she really liked it. She started getting death threats from the Snyder people, you know, saying, "How dare you? How dare you?" You know, it's just insane.
How like, dare you like a movie?
Yeah. You need to die now for liking the movie. And then they reviewed bomb Godzilla versus Kong, which wasn't the greatest movie, but it was playing the following week on HBO Max after the Snyder cut. And they wanted it, you know, they wanted to review bomb it so that people wouldn't watch it, so that people would choose to watch the Snyder cut again. It's just insane, you know, how it's either his loyalist zealot fans or it's just him creating these false accounts that are manipulating not only the fans, but Warner Brothers into giving him like $70 to $80 million on top of the crap that he got from the previous picture, wanting to redo the Snyderverse in full. Again, read the article. It's just insane.
It is insane. That's the only way to put it. It's crazy that this stuff goes on. And he got away with it.
He is
Lex Luthor.
That's what I said. He does sound like Lex Luthor. He'll control the world one day. And I said it first. I called him out from the very beginning. So anyway, I always bring up this guy to you, Young Rippa. You know, he does a lot of videos and on YouTube, and I follow him. I don't agree with everything he says. He is kind of angry. He's a lot more angry at the woke agenda than I am. But some of the stuff makes sense. I followed him because he likes comics. He knows comics, and he's also he's a black streamer, and he's real, you know, like he knows everything about Superman, the X-Men. He's a huge comic book fan, and he's against the whole woke movement. He doesn't like the race swapping, the gender swapping. You know, he's against all of the so many times that we've seen in the last couple of years where these superheroes just happen to come out of the closet, and he just thinks that it doesn't do justice to the original character that was created. So he went on to create his own comic book, and it's called The Ripperverse. And he did a pre-order thing where, you know, you could pre-order the comic books before it comes out next month. Okay.
No, go on. I just have to, I have to kill a bug.
Okay. So the first one that you could pre-order was called Awesome. I think it was Awesome number one. And he made over $3 million from pre-orders, which is kind of crazy. I went on to it, and If you wanted to buy that comic book, you'd have to pay $35 for it. And that's way too expensive for a comic book. Although most people are doing it to support his cause. But it looks pretty cool. I had seen the artwork. The story is okay. It kind of reminds me of Kingdom Come a little bit. But I would definitely buy it if it was 10 bucks. But I wouldn't buy it for 35 bucks. But he made $3 million like even before it came out. And I think that's pretty impressive.
I think it's great that, you know, a young creator is doing his own thing, creating his own platform. I think more people need to do that so that we can get this expression out and constantly being at risk of being canceled. I love the fact that he's doing it on his own voice. Yeah, it might be expensive, but, you know, it takes money to build this. I can only imagine the amount of time and effort. So I applaud that the people that are supporting him. I'm definitely going to check it out because I know that you've mentioned it, but I haven't even really looked at his platform. But I think it's a great move in the right direction. You know, if people want a variety and they want to get away from Disney or they want to get away from, you know, whatever, you know, comic or character that just doesn't resonate with them, at least there's new ones now.
And I think that there's place in this world for non-woke comic books and woke comic books. You know, I mean, they should all be given their fair share and let people decide what they want to read. You know, don't force people to read a certain thing.
Let people use their creativity to come up with new stories and new ideas. That's what we need. We need new ideas. Otherwise, it all gets stale after a while.
Yeah.
And a lot of this came, I watched an interview with him and the artist, and the artist said that he was working for DC Comics and it was a dream for him to work on Superman. And he finally got to work on Superman. And then all of a sudden they decided that they wanted to remove Truth, Justice, and the American Way to get rid of the American Way. And he felt that was a complete insult to the character. And, you know, he left DC because he just didn't want to work for them anymore. And so he joined with the Ripper's real name is Eric July. And they came, Eric July wrote the story and the artist did the artwork. And it's a nice looking comic book. I mean, again, I would buy it if it was 10 bucks, but $35 is a lot of money. And I think there's a lot of people that have a lot of disposable income for him to raise $3 million in like a week, you know?
That's pretty good.
Because yeah, some of the packages are like $5,000, you know, like say like, and those are sold out. It's like somebody actually bought $5,000. It's one comic book, but different comic book covers. And some of them are autographed. And I think some of them have collectible cards and posters and t-shirts. $5,000. I don't know if I would spend that much money. But good for him though. You know, he never expected. His original goal was $100,000. And now he's looking at $3 million. And it's not over. It's just begun. This is just the first issue of the Ripperverse. It's one character. And it's only the first issue of that character. So,
oh yeah, that's the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to go crazy and it's getting a lot of publicity. I did see it was in the New York Post. It was on Fox News. You know, it's a lot of right-wing people that tune into, you know, Fox News watched it and they're like, hey, I want to support this guy too, you know? And I think it's great, you know, more power to the guy.
Yeah, agreed. Very much. I think it's a good step in the right direction.
Anyway, I guess that's it. Unless you guys have anything else to say.
Yeah, there was a lot of news to touch on.
Yeah, no, I cut some
of them. What comes out of Comic-Con?
Yeah, like I said, you know, if something really big comes out, Charlie and I will do something. Fedra, you're invited. I know Jack is very busy on the weekend. And I know you are, Fedra, too, but we might do something on Sunday. I'll just put it out there, you know. But if it's, again, if nothing comes out of comic book, nothing major, we'll just wait for next Thursday.
It's funny because usually you see like a lot of promotion on certain channels of, you know, we're going to be at Comic-Con and they do their like little comic shows, but I haven't seen much on it this year.
No, I think it started today, but it was more like, you know, you could buy stuff, minor stuff. I think DC and Marvel are this weekend. Those are the big guys that we're going to be looking at.
Well, yeah, I mean, even when you go, all the big stuff happens on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, you never went to San Diego Comic-Con, right?
No, but I've been to New York for several years. And Thursday used to always be like for the vendors, like if you were a comic shop owner or something in retail. That was Thursday. And Friday, you can go and they had a lot of artists there and everything, but the big celebrities usually came on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, I think the difference between San Diego Comic-Con, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they do trailers, they have celebrities making appearances, like The Rock will be there for Black Adam.
Right.
They don't. No, they have do they do that in New York? They do?
New York Comic-Con, too.
Oh, yeah, I guess they did. I think I remember seeing some of the Avengers there.
Ah, who knows?
Yeah.
Like I said, usually I see more promotions on, you know, the TV, on TV for it. Like, we're going to be at wherever. But I haven't seen much this year.
Yeah. But I have a feeling there's going to be quite a bit of surprises. So we'll keep our eyes open.
All right.
Jack and Federal will be getting a lot of texts this weekend.
We'll see.
All right. I guess I'll wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can always send me email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And Fedra?
You can follow me on Instagram. You can be my friend on Facebook. And you can email me at fedra@wdwnt.com.
And didn't you want to do a shout out or something?
Yeah, let me... I kind of removed it already, so give me just a second. My friend, Andrew, if I pronounce it correctly, Peepoy, will be at the Comic-Con in San Diego. He's an illustrator and inker, and he's a freelance artist with Power Comics, Inc., and a publisher at Spicy Tomato Studios. And he's going to be at the small press table, P as in Paul 12. And his setup is with SDCC. So if you're there, check it out. His comics are going to be there. He's going to be doing signing and selling them personally. So it's really awesome. And it's really fun to know him as a friend as well.
Yeah, I mentioned Fedra and get 10% off.
I wish. I don't know if he'd allow that. That would have been cool, but no.
They'll have a special buy one, get one free if no, you just mention Fedra's name.
No, you know, I love promoting people and their work, and he's so passionate about comics. So, yeah, I wanted to say that he's at least going to be there. So, if you're there.
No, that's great. But, yeah, that was a joke, so don't expect to get anything off. Anyway, if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. Check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney Universal news. And finally, if you want to become a patron supporter, just visit the WDWNT Patreon page. I'm tired. At www.patreon.com/WDWNT. With that,
and if you work at the New York Post, when are you going to talk about Nerd Alert?
Yeah, it'll happen one day.
Well, WDWNT has gotten 2 mentions in the New York Post, but nothing about us.
They get a lot of mentions. I do see them a lot, you know, there. Anyway, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 33. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all, and be good to each other.
Good night, everyone.